Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, my favorite thing about the movie is, like, it feels like a movie.
Okay, hi, everyone. Welcome to a What the Fuck is Happening, the podcast review episode.
So yay!
We were trying. I'm Nick. That's Maddie. Maddie is here, but she is ignoring me to text on her phone, and I absolutely did not tell her to text someone.
Lies.
I'm the editor. I can make it look like whatever I want it to look like. I can make it look like you call me the fag. But I won't.
But I could.
Is this what power feels like?
Yes, literally.
No, we're trying something new where we do the spoiler review.
Yes.
Of new and relevant movies.
Separate.
Separate to the podcast because Maddie thinks that people can't skip forward.
Well, I just think you can, but I wouldn't. So we should make it easy for our listeners.
Anyway, today's episode is about Don't Worry, Darling.
Fuck yes. I'm
directed
so
by
excited.
Olivia Wilde, yes. Starring Florence Pugh, Harry Styles, and Chris Pine.
So true.
Right?
So true, bestie.
Written by
Katie
Silberman.
Yeah. So let's just get straight in. Last night, after the movie, Nicholas and I spent like 40 minutes standing in the car park talking about the film.
Yeah.
I feel like I have not a completely different opinion than I did last night, but I will say that as soon as I got home, I was standing in the shower, I was thinking about it, and the deeper I was thinking about it, the more I was like, oh my God, this whole film has just fallen apart. The entire plot doesn't make any sense.
Ooh.
Ooh. There, I
see, the more I thought about it, my opinion also changed a bit.
Mm.
Not drastically.
Yeah.
It did change, though. For context, we should probably say what our original thoughts were.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So last night, I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I'm the man and men go first.
You have all the power.
So basically, last night we got out of the movie and my thoughts were that I enjoyed the first two acts. The first two thirds I really enjoyed and I thought were really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt as though the conclusion and the third act kind of dropped the ball and kind of lost the plot and went off the rails and
got a bit intense.
That shit.
Yeah. Also, I feel like we might have said it, but just to be super clear, this is majorly spoilers. We are talking in depth about the film.
Starting now.
Yes. Yeah. So, and my thoughts were I didn't agree. Mostly I felt like it was consistent throughout and wasn't like a fantastic film, but I enjoyed it and I liked it.
Fair, we both thought it was probably a 6.57 out of 10.
Yeah, yes.
We both enjoyed it.
Yes, yes.
I just personally thought that the final act kind of soured the rest of the film for me.
I feel like my opinion today is I actually agree with that. I wouldn't go so far as to say it soured the rest of the film, but I do feel like the final act absolutely did not connect to like what was being laid down in the first two thirds. So shall we talk
I've come to the same conclusion. My afterthought and staying up to like 4 a.m. thinking, I came to the conclusion that the ending wasn't as messy as I thought. It was just a big risk.
Yes.
And I do think for the most part it paid off. I just think it was rushed.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll just do a quick like outline of the plot for those of you who haven't seen it and don't care about spoilers.
Starting now the spoilers.
Yeah. So basically,
I mean, okay, wait, pause. If you haven't got any idea what the film's about, which I can't imagine you'd be watching through, go watch the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie. Go watch the trailer. If you've not seen the movie and you don't care, go watch the trailer and you'll be able to understand that
it's like a thrillery
the
mystery.
The first two acts
are
laid out in the trailer.
That's true.
Set in the idealistic nuclear family.
Yes.
Paradise, 1950s.
Yes. Yeah.
Florence Pugh's character Alice starts having breaks in reality, hallucinality.
Hallucinations, yeah.
Hallucinations and shit like that, and is being gaslit and shit. That's the first two thirds of the movie.
Yes.
We don't really need to go into too much detail.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. I mean, so...
which is very well done.
Yeah, very, very much.
In the film itself.
Absolutely. I mean, the only real thing probably to further expand upon there is that... she is married to Jack, who's played by Harry Styles, and
he
is like working in the town for what we think is that he's working on this thing called like the Victory Project, which is run by Chris Pine's.
It's a company town
character, yeah, basically. Frank is Chris Pine's character.
You know those companies where you can like the employees because it's out in the desert, they like live.
Yes. Yeah.
For free kind of thing. Anyway.
So, and then in the final act, it is...
Well, I guess, wait, pause. Pick that up in 30 seconds. The thing is, I think it's shown in the trailer, the men go off to work every day.
Yes, right.
The whole thing is that Alice sees a plane crash, which is also never brought up again.
No, I know, right.
But I did read a theory about it that I liked.
And it also was the thing is, it was the same plane that was being dragged by the little kid. Yeah. So, there seems to... I think that it has been edited down so much.
Heavily. Yeah, and so off tangent, but I'm convinced this is the same issue that the last few Warner Brothers films have had, where I feel like corporate has told them the film needs to be two hours and 10 or under.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I think for most of these films that they've done it to in the past 12 months, it's really affected
the final product.
And this is one of those films where I'm like, I wish that they just had an extra 15 minutes to flesh out that final act.
Yeah.
And it would have been...
Well, and to tie it all together, because, so again, all of my issues with the film is I'm like, okay, well, why the fuck were they setting up this power dynamic between Frank and Alice? Why did the whole first two thirds make it seem like Frank was the one who was in charge of the entire Victory Project when in the end... Like it had nothing to do with the final reveal. He just fucking died. Like,
yeah, so So back to context. Alice sees a plane crash in the desert and under no circumstances are they meant to be leaving the town.
Yes.
She does it anyway.
To go and help the plane.
To go and help the victims, I guess. I don't know what she would have done.
Yeah.
So she goes and, she gets, like, not delirious. She starts to, like, sweat, and she's a big hike out into the desert, and she finds the Victory HQ, the headquarters.
Yeah.
Which is where the men go off to work every day.
Yes.
No one's there. It's just this small building that's all windows. Mm-hmm. And she touches the window, and she has all these hallucinations of black and white women dancing. Not black and white. Skin color. The women are in black and white.
Yes.
And they're, like, dancing and all this stuff, and Frank's voice, Chris Pine's voice, and then she wakes up in her bed.
Yes.
That lays the groundwork for...
Basically. So am I telling what happened in the final act?
The plot twist.
So basically it turns out that she is in this simulation and her husband slash partner, who is Jack Harry Styles, has basically, like, drugged her and taken control of her body and forced her into this simulation.
Yeah, you need to give context that in reality it's like 2022.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. In reality,
in the real world, it's 2022. Yes. She's a surgeon.
Yes, she's a surgeon, and her husband, Jack, wasn't working. Their relationship wasn't going very well because he very obviously had an issue with the power dynamic.
Yeah, and like it's a very clear point in the reveal. So yes. It literally just cuts to it. It cuts to her in an operating lab.
Yeah.
Into 2022, whatever. What I'm assuming is 2022 because there's no future tech. Anyway. They make a point of him feeling inadequate. Like he should be providing for her, but instead he's at home.
Yes.
Listening to podcasts and reading.
The podcast is by Frank, and so basically he gets radicalized by Frank's podcast. Frank outlines Andrew Tate,
Joe Rogan, all them.
Yeah. And Frank basically outlines this simulation called the Victory Project, where you can pick your nationality, your job, and you choose the wife who you want, but the wife has to be a real person in reality, and then you force them into this simulation, basically, to act out your deepest desires, which is, for all of them, it seems, except for one, which is Olivia Wilde's character. The men are the ones who are in charge, who are working every day, and the women are at home being subservient and cleaning and cooking, etc.
Yeah, so it's a simulation in their heads.
Yes.
And the whole thing is every day when the men go to work in the 1950s, yes, they're actually leaving the simulation to go work.
In real life.
Apparently for Frank's company, which isn't made clear in the film, but apparently they're working in real life to make the money.
That makes so much more sense.
To sustain the Victory Project, yes, the simulation.
Yes.
While the women are just drugged.
Basically.
And
have no idea what's going on.
Right. And literally were like electric shocked to like.
Yeah. Oh my God. Again. Why was the fuck? What was the point of the electric shock? Did that happen in the simulation?
The reason I was up till 4 a.m.
Oh, you read Davey.
I read the script.
Did you?
I did read a lot of the script. Almost all the script.
Oh my God. Like the original one?
No, the updated one.
Oh, okay.
So I went and I found out what the original script was.
Right.
But then I read the final, the shooting script for Don't Worry, Darling.
Interesting.
Which, by the way, they cut the entire beginning.
Really? Interesting.
So we showed up as it started to the cinema.
We did.
Literally, we didn't miss anything. But in the script, there's like probably 10 minutes worth of film before that, setting things
interesting
up.
Interesting.
For example. So, okay. This is a messy review. It's a little bit of a messy movie, but again,
we only have 5 minutes too. I know. Devastating.
But
I could talk about this for like an hour.
The one thing I want to say about the script,
yeah,
the actual shooting script that they used, there. One of my complaints last night, right, was that there was no foreshadowing or threading throughout. There was no way we could have guessed what the plot twist was because they gave us no hints.
Yes.
In the actual script, there is hints.
Oh, devastating.
So when she's about to cook dinner, breakfast at the very beginning of the film, when she's cracking the eggs, she washes her hands like a surgeon, like up in the air at the things.
Interesting.
And she knows. And when she's tying up the roast, she does it with like procedure, like a surgeon would. Stuff like that. So there were hints throughout.
Which we did talk at length about how
She lives this different reality.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, that we thought that is something that should have been an example because, e.g., someone commits suicide in the simulation. Mm. And we were like, that's a fucking perfect time to bring in her surgeon skills.
Yeah.
But obviously they had just cut it. The electric shock, again, what was the fucking point of that? Was that in the simulation? In the film, was that in real life? It doesn't.
In the script, it's explained that the electric shock stuff is happening in real life.
Oh.
So they have to, everyone going in, including the men, have to be electric shocked in the brain to suppress their real life memories and their real life personality.
Yeah.
So once their brain is kind of foggy from the electric shock, they're then plugged into the system.
Interesting.
The simulation.
That makes sense.
And these new personalities are able to be taken.
God, I really want to read the script.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Overwritten. It's not explained well, which again, I absolutely 1,000,000% agree with you that I think it was cut down so intensely.
Yeah.
That it did affect the final film, unfortunately.
Which is really unfortunate because it actually was, aside from these plot issues, it was actually an extremely strong film.
1,000,000%.
The dynamics between the characters were so interesting. Oh, it was
so good.
The acting was really quite strong, mostly. Harry, obviously, not as good as everyone else, but I feel like
my thought on Harry Styles' acting is that his acting was good.
Yeah.
It was not. It's not going to win any awards,
no.
But it was good.
It was good. It just lacked direction.
And I think that they kind of did him dirty by putting him next to Florence Pugh and Chris Pine.
Yeah.
But again, that's not on him. He was good in it.
It's really true. If he'd been next to, like, just average actors, he would have been, like, almost a standout performance.
Yeah.
It's just because he was next to these other people who were fucking phenomenal that it's like, oh, it's pretty obvious.
He could have used a few more years in the industry playing smaller roles before taking on one like this.
Yeah.
But,
It was fine.
Honestly, he handled it.
All of the complaints about his accent, I think, are fucking ridiculous. I think it very clear in the film as to why there is those inconsistencies between the American and the British.
We can tell them. It's a spoiler review. We can tell them.
Yeah.
Literally, when you enter the simulation, the men get to pick their nationality and all of these, like the Sims, they get to pick all of their nooks and crannies of personalities and shit. And he chooses to have a British nationality in the simulation.
Whereas in real life, he's American.
He's American, and he speaks an American accent that, as frankly, was very one good. Of the better American accents I've heard on film. Yeah,
absolutely. And so then as the simulation and reality starts to collide, absolutely, there is one sentence he's speaking with a British accent and the next he's speaking with an American, and then the next just like this weird combination. It's like, well, that's obviously because the simulation is failing. Like, that's fucking why. Mm. Anyway, so the acting was really good. The power dynamics between Frank and Alice was fucking so stunning. Interesting.
Guys, when I tell you the movie's worth watching for this one scene. Dinner party scene.
Oh, my God.
Fucking
phenomenal.
Good.
It was one. I feel like it's one of my most favorite things that I've seen in cinema recently, just because it was so tense and it was so interesting, because it's this, up until now, we know that Alice's hallucinations are all leading to something, because that's what the fucking movie's about.
Yeah. You knew that was going to be a plot twist. You just didn't know. Yeah,
obviously. But in universe, it had not been confirmed to be anything outside of just her own, hallucinations.
We thought that there was weird experiments going on at the Victory HQ.
Absolutely. And so what happens directly before, again, major spoilers, Frank basically confirmed that everything that Alice thought was true, and then they have this really interesting dynamic where they're sitting around with all of the other people who are in a simulation, half of whom know that it's a simulation, the men, half of whom don't. And she and Frank have this like
back and forth mind
game.
Where they're trying to convince the people at the table.
Yeah. That what they're saying is true.
It's really fucking well done.
So, so interesting.
Props to literally everyone in that scene, because even the supporting characters.
Yeah.
We're giving like, should she be saying this? Do we have to send shots? Like, all this stuff. It was very, very good.
Absolutely. It's so
anyway,
true.
We have to start wrapping up.
We do, sadly.
But I think we both, okay, so last night we were both really passionate about it.
We were.
And I think you can still tell now.
We are.
We decided the reason that we're passionate about this is because it's one of those films where there's a lot to unpack and you can talk about it at length and analyze it.
Absolutely.
And the reason we're so passionate about it is because you can tell that there's a 9 out of 10 film in there.
Oh, absolutely.
You can tell there's an excellent film in there with nuance and depth. And frankly, not that deep. It's like a little, like 10 more minutes of explanation or
something
would have made it gotten it there. But we're passionate about it because it was so close to being fantastic. And instead, it was let down, I think, by a rushed final act for me.
Absolutely. I know. I totally agree. Like a lack of explanation or a lack of bringing it all together the way that it had been set up to be brought together. Yeah. And I think the other thing is why I'm probably putting words in your mouth, but why it's so, I feel so passionately about it is because it is getting such shit reviews.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%.
And all of the set drama that has surrounded it has made people automatically go, oh, this is going to be a bad movie. It's fucking not.
It's not a bad movie.
It's quite good.
It is a good movie.
I said to Nick last night as well, like, if even half of the shit that happened on set that we've heard about, like, the film is shockingly consistent and well-made and coherent for how bad, apparently, the set conditions were.
Right, which leads me to believe that the set was nothing like it.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a dispute between Olivia and Florence, but it did not affect the entire film.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, it no, I 100%
definitely
agree.
Seems like this, it's an editing failure.
I think, frankly, like, if I'm being totally honest, I think that the reviewers drop the ball on this one and let the outside, the real world drama about it.
Absolutely.
Change their view of the actual film, because the film itself is not bad.
So true.
Like, objectively, it's quite good.
It's really true.
And when it nails it, it really nails it.
Absolutely. It really nailed it.
I don't know. And I just
Olivia
feel
Wilde
horrible.
Also, I feel like, absolutely could have a very strong career as a director as long as she doesn't get blacklisted by Hollywood because of all the set drama, which I feel
that's
like what is what's going to happen.
It's if all the set drama happened on a film directed by a man.
Fucking like Tarantino or some shit.
It wouldn't even
hear about
be
those sets?
An issue to this point.
No.
And I am genuinely upset and annoyed that this could negatively affect anyone in this film's career.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, like, there's like, a car chase scene at the end of the film that's so well directed and, like, that dinner table scene's so well directed. Our only complaint about her direction was that she could have probably reeled in Harry's acting a little bit at moments.
Yes.
But, again, nothing crazy bad or anything.
Nothing crazy bad. No, absolutely not.
So I just – I'm not that anyone in Hollywood's listening, but, like, please –
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Give them a fucking break.
Give them a break. It was a good fucking film. Okay. Anyway, we should wrap up.
Also, can I clarify? Okay. Last night I was saying that I had an issue with the plot twist itself. The more I thought about it, I realized I don't have an issue with the plot twist. I actually think it is a good plot twist.
Yeah. It's just the way it was set up.
It was just the way that it was handled.
Yep.
It needed further.
Fair. Clarification,
which again I think probably exists in the director's cut.
Absolutely. It's
because in the script it is explained more.
Definitely, it feels like the majority of the bag was fumbled at the editing point.
Yeah, which again probably she didn't. I highly doubt Olivia Wilde had
a lot of say in
the final cut.
Yeah,
rights.
Yeah.
So when a director's signing onto a film, they can stipulate whether they can be like, I want the final cut approval.
Right.
And that's my make or break.
Right.
If Warner Brothers is like, if you want final cut, we're hiring someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I have a feeling with Warner Brothers specifically in the past couple of years, I don't think she had final cut.
I would probably agree with that, particularly because she's not a very well-established director and she's a woman, so I imagine they were like, we have all the power here.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know.
Okay, anyway.
The more I think about it, the more I like it.
I agree. It was good. I'd watch it again. I'd probably buy it.
Oh, yeah.
It was
on sale. I'll buy it.
Watch it.
Yeah, watch it.
And go watch it. There's no reason for you not to see it.
Make your own decision.
Yeah.
It's good and enjoyable and an experience.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you very much for listening to What the Fuck Is Happening.
Wait. What would you rate it out of 10?
I would still give it a 7, yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I've gone from a 6 to a 7. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much for listening to What the Fuck Is Happening, the podcast.
And go see the movie. Review. Yeah, tell us if you liked how we split it up. Okay, goodbye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.